Do we have a motion on the floor to, what was that bill for Driscoll and Hicks? There was a bill, something about euthanasia before you shoot them? Or should we just shoot them? Senator Hicks, I will give you a rebuttal.
Take Driscoll first.
All right, by my reckoning, we're at third reading number 12. Will the reading clerk please read it in?
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 12 to corrected copy.
It's actually on.
It's on. Section 7, Wyoming Military Department.
We have everything but a sponsor. Oh, Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. They're delivering the corrected copy at this point in time.
Of this one?
Yes.
I wouldn't say it so much.
Okay, well, do you have the read? Let's read in the corrected copy.
I did.
Oh, the corrected copy was read in. The sponsor knows what it is. You can almost read it to you. So does anybody not have it yet? Everybody's got it. Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President, what we've got here is Plan B. What we have down here is in the town that we were talking about earlier, and that's in the my good fellow senator's district near Casper there. Anyway, there is a road and a bridge that crosses the North Platte River and goes up to the Veterans State Cemetery. That has been problematic for this town in securing access to either ingress or egress into that bridge. They've been in a longstanding battle with the military department of the United States as opposed to the state military department. The road surface and the road bridge, a good part of that bridge has been is owned by the Veterans Administration. On the side of that, have been very, very difficult to work with and have been reticent to provide and let Evansville use that bridge to accomplish accomplish ingress and egress away from those railroad tracks. Over the last couple of years, Mr. President, Wyoming has put probably at least $1.2 million, sneaking on $1.3 million, into that bridge, the Veterans State Cemetery, and the surf road surface up there to augment that. And ultimately what we're doing here is simply directing the military department to use its best efforts to secure ingress and egress for the town of Evansville over the Veterans State Cemetery road and bridge. And if they're unable to secure that co-use of that, then the Joint Appropriations Committee and subsequently the legislature would review its support of that institution, and which is a combination of both federal and state dollars. That bridge had a major redo and a major overlay onto that road just 3 or 4 years ago that was in large part funded by the state of Wyoming. So maybe this is another way to go about and find the relief for this small town by trying to make sure that the Wyoming gets its money's worth. Mr. Chairman, and talking to people also, Mr. President, I'm talking also to people who are involved in that. One of the conditions of providing that money was that there would be some use and some ingress and egress by Evansville. That has not been forthcoming from our federal partners, and so this will put the military in line of trying to get that done. Thank you. That's for your favorable consideration. On this one, you want to vote yes if you want to pass, if you want to have it, if you don't.
Senator Perkins, would you come up here to take over the chair a moment? Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. That's being on pretty thin ice, telling that the veterans in Wyoming that the Appropriations Interim Committee shall take a review of state support of the Veterans Cemetery. There's a lot of us buried out there, and I've got a lot of good friends buried out there. And there's quite a few in this state that know that they're going to be buried there since we don't have a federal cemetery here. So don't make the ice too thin.
Mr. President.
Chairman. Mr. Chairman, we will not forget our veterans and our family members that are buried out there. But I'll tell you this. The first serious investments in this road came in front of the JAC about 10 years ago. I was co-chairing it. I don't remember now whether it was on the House side or the Senate side. And the issue came up that we were going to build this magnificent road and bridge over to the cemetery. And they asked I think we put close to $1 million into the landscaping. At that time, and I think it would have been the previous adjutant general, we said, why are we going to put money into a bridge just to get to a cemetery? The folks from Evansville, everybody came in front, and they said, we need to get access over this bridge. And part of doing that, if the state will put in the money, we will make sure you get an access. I'm frankly flabbergasted that we put all this investment in there and that the easements were not secured. They should have been secure at the time where we were putting the investment in it. We will not forget our veterans, but that's not to say that we're going to stand by and say, you can harm our folks there by breaching, walking backwards on the deal. And it was the adjutant, of course, we didn't meet with the feds, but the adjutant general at the time assured us that he could secure access from the opposite side of the bridge to the property that Evansville had so they'd have an alternate access. And that was part of the reason why we authorized the appropriation to help improve the road, improve the bridge, and also why we put some of the serious money into the landscaping. So all this does is say, look, let's go back. Let's figure out why it is that we can't do it. And I suspect what ends up happening is that the community is probably working through the delegation and things like that, and they're probably working through the wrong folks. The adjutant general and their team of people know who to speak with. They're the best people to be our emissaries to get this easement. Let's put them to the task.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President, and I appreciate the comments of the President. Obviously, I'm on and in favor of the amendment. You learn down here to learn from your colleagues and to get where you can get. And as difficult as that situation has been with that road and with that bridge, the difficulties at that particular location of trying to get an egress out of there, it's worth looking at. And you know what? Let's at least take a look at that and see where we can get. So thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Anderson.
Mr. President, I've got a little more information on this. The Wyoming Military Department has been trying to work this. The road is owned by the VA. The road and the bridge is owned by the Veterans Administration. The Veterans Administration told the mayor and the military that they could buy them out and they'd be done with it. The military department has been trying to work this with the mayor. So in light of that, I would like to take the threat out of this and divide this amendment. The first three lines down to bridge would be the first division, and the second division would be if the Wyoming military department is unable to the end to Evansville.
Senator Office.
First half, so it's indivisible.
Actually, I think it does stand on its own. Chair rules that it is severable. The division number one will be on lines 12. The seven will stand with either division. So division number one is the first sentence. Division two is the second sentence on division one.
Thank you.
All those in favor of division number one, say aye. Senator Christensen.
Mr. President, a question for the bringer of the budget amendment. I'm not sure when I'm reading this, especially with Division One, but the whole thing, how is this significantly different than the conversation we had just half hour ago? Looks like it's the same name and the same issues. The same bridge with a different name.
The chair rules it's in order. We're not going to argue that. We're on division number one. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That's been adopted. Division number two. Do you carry a big stick or a little one?
We'll go home.
I rise against division number two.
Pardon?
Point of order. Usually if you ask for the games and names.
I did. Did I forget that, Paul? Okay. Let's go back to division number one. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Amendment's been adopted, but thank you. We're on division number two. Senator Anderson.
Division number two, Mr. Chairman. I hope you would vote against division number two. We don't want to threaten the military department. They've got bigger guns than we do.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, I think that the President's words before were accurate. Ultimately, we're not going to forget our veterans. We haven't forgotten our veterans. If you've been out, I spend at this cemetery and all across that road and bridge frequently. We have done a great job. That is a beautiful institution. We've doubled the size of the chapel out there. We're raising all the graves. We've got a new colonnade out there that will take cremains of about another 800 veterans. We are taking good care of our veterans. We've done that at the cost of our treasure. We're not going to forget our veterans. But at the end of the day, my fellow senators, you have, as was said a minute ago, do you carry a big stick or a little stick? And so, ultimately, whether you have this in there or not, it'll happen in the future because we'll examine what we do and how we work with our federal partners when we do these types of things, whether it's here or whether it's out at the air base, or out at the training center, or out at the Air Force, when we start to work together, our federal partners, at the end of the day, we need to make sure that we've got our rights and our interests covered. And that we can't be pushed around and just be somebody else that's a cost shares for federal obligations. I urge you to vote aye on Division 2.
Discussion? On Division 2, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
That amendment has been adopted. Just to... All those in favor, say, stand. Actually stand. Physically stand. Twenty. All those opposed, please stand. Well, I'm not. I'm here. Nine. If the vote was 20 to 9, it has adopted. Just to make sure we did this, cleaned this up right, since we divided that. All those in favor of third reading amendment number 12, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment's been adopted. We're at third reading number 13. Would the reading clerk please read it in?
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 13, budgets affected, Section 347, state facilities.
Senator Lamb.
Thank you, Mr. President. I know it's late this evening, but I want to give you enough information to help you understand what we're doing here. I would move third reading amendment number 13 to Senate File 1, Mr. President. This goes into the information on page 139 under the 300 series. You've heard about the state facility effort up there in Casper. I was your Senate representative on a committee that met throughout the interim. to take a look at the five or six facilities that that our state agencies use up there in Natrona County, and to begin to work with interested parties, a very significant committee, Mr. President, that took this all in. What this amendment does, fellow senators, is to allow folks up there in the downtown area of the city, through this language, to go ahead and pursue with our construction management group the ability to go ahead and move a facility that was referred to a little bit earlier this evening. When the president stood up and indicated to you guys that we have a couple of facilities up there that we know we just are going to have to get rid of, we're talking about one of those facilities right here. It happens to be a site that was selected for an effort that's being made in the downtown part of that city. They're ready to move on that. And what this would allow is for them to go ahead and do that through our construction management folks. That's a state data call center is what it is. And we know we've got to get rid of that facility. So if you track the language, Mr. President, if you go down on page 139 to line 21, what we're doing is striking the further legislative authorization and allowing that the sentence would then read, no site shall be purchased or shall any existing state-owned facility or facilities related to this project be sold without approval of the State Building Commission and as provided in WS 95102. In other words, what we would be allowing, fellow senators, is for them to work directly with the management folks to go ahead and get started on that parallel project. This in no way, Mr. President, gets in the way of our flexibility up there. We're still looking at two or three different sites, for the location of whatever state properties we may choose to build in the future up there. All this does is allow that downtown authority up there in that city to get moving on something we're going to have to do anyway. So I'd be glad to try to answer any questions. Thank you.
Questions have been called. All those in favor of third reading, amendment number 13, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That's been adopted. Third reading, amendment number 17, if the clerk would please read it in.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 17, budget affected, addition to 300 sections.
Senator Meyer. We're on third reading amendment number 17. Oh, it's your extraordinary hardship assistance.
Thank you, Mr. President. Folks, I emailed to you. Okay. Thank you, Tony. Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 17 to Senate File 1. Ask for your favorable consideration. Folks, I emailed to you the budget of one of our smallest counties. And it's on your computer. It's from me. It's expenditures and revenues. If you want to get to the detail about why I bring this amendment. Mr. President, what we do with this is that we appropriate from the Permanent Wyoming Mineral Trust Fund Reserve Account, and that goes to the state lands and investments to be distributed upon the request of the funding county employee health insurance premiums. To be eligible, you have to be a county of population below 4,000 for distribution under this section. The appropriation is for a period to begin with the effective date of this act and ending at the end of the fiscal year, June 30th, 2016. So essentially, it's if you get down to the details, it's enough for health insurance for 42 individuals in our smallest county for a period of 16 months. At this point in time, the only thing the county can't afford, the only thing they have been able to afford for several years, as a $200 stipend, which they can either buy some Aflac insurance or some vision or perhaps some dental insurance. Now, I know this steps way out of the funding formula, and there's a good reason for that, Mr. President. Essentially, a county of this size with the resources they have for property tax, which next year it's only going to be $834,000 in the whole county for property tax. That's going to be the size of it. You can see that on property tax, they're not going to make it. And if you add the sales tax in there and they're 1%, it's only about another $230,000 or $240,000. So, Mr. President, the reason we don't go into a formula and why it doesn't work, if you don't have the resources and you don't have the people, 2,484 people, you can't distribute anything per capita because there's not enough capita. You can't do anything on an inverse sales tax or ad valorem tax in a formula, because essentially, if you do a multiplier of either one of those, there's not enough critical mass in either one of those revenue streams to make it work. Now, it's just kind of like a small school adjustment. This is like a small county adjustment. You've got a county out there, and there's no other place, basically, for them to actually get enough money to run what governmental functions we tell them they have to do. They've got to run a courthouse, just like the largest county. They've got to have a jail, just like the largest county. They got to have a sheriff department and deputies just like the largest county. They got to have a county clerk, a treasurer, an assessor, and those people to make sure that their jobs get done. And they got to maintain all the county roads that are in the county. And they also have to maintain all the county buildings that are in the county. So, you know, that's a lot that we put on a county. Now the situation is that if you take the 884,000 or whatever they're going to get next year, and you can pull those numbers up, and I'm kind of pulling them off the top of my head here from what I remember. But all in all, you add it all up, you add in the state resources, you add in the PIL payments, which they haven't received yet, and all of the other revenue, they don't have enough in their budget to pay for the health insurance. Now, there's a lot of other things I could go out there and talk to them. I'm sure there's a lot of other things that they don't have enough money to do, that other counties get those services. So, folks, this is a small county adjustment. It's for this time period, and hopefully between now and the end of the next biennium and during the budget process next year, we might be able to come up with some more solutions. And I don't like it any better than some of you guys that might want to vote no on this one. But I tell you that it's a tough situation. The services Time. Just aren't getting out there, and they need your help.
Senator Anderson.
As you can well see, I signed on to this, and I'll just simply say, this is indicative of the plight that I put before you and before in regard to the plight of these small counties, and I would hope that we'd pass this amendment at this time and keep these kinds of things in mind as we go forward, perhaps into the interim, and see what we can do with that distribution formula in regard to these small counties. I would urge your favorable consideration.
Further discussion on the amendment, Senator Wasserberger. Senator Ross. Hold on. Is your mic pushed down? I think our sound system is just wearing out tonight.
It's because we've
apparently. I think it does. It goes on these ebbs, but it is on. Go ahead. Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and against the amendment, folks. Regardless of their need, and I don't doubt that, and I've shared and talked with the good senator from Goshen at length about this, this is bad precedent. This is totally bad precedent. If we're going to do this, what's next? What county? What other governmental entity is going to come and say, you did it there, you should do it for us? Quite frankly, that's not the role of the state of Wyoming to all of a sudden just do that. And quite frankly, on third reading in the budget, I believe it's inappropriate, but probably need some study as to how you handle that. But this is not the appropriate time or place to do it.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President. My county would love to have the state help out with their health care costs. And if we did pass this, I'm sure they'll be on my doorstep next thing. But I do have a couple of questions. One is, and maybe I missed the explanation of why the money's coming from state lands and investments as opposed to any other source. And then does the sponsor have any idea where the money's going to come from at the end of June 30th, 2016. It seems almost cruel to give them health coverage for, you know, a little less than a year and a half and then have no way to then have to take it away. Because if we do it that way and then come up with some other circumstance for them, where you can bet they're going to, every other county is going to want something like this, some sort of supplement.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, on and for the amendment. Mr. President, this, what you're seeing is a piece of a formula that we're going to have, because we've got 5-6 counties that simply can't get enough revenue from the resources that are available to them to really do a decent job of their funding. This is the one that's in the most trouble. It's a problem. We've not ignored it over the years. I can remember some very close calls on some equalization efforts that would have solved this problem, but we haven't been able to get it done. We are going to have to do something about it, and starting with the county that's in the worst shape, I would hope that, you know, my county is all right in this. Other counties, a number of them are a good deal more than all right and don't need this kind of state aid. But we've got a handful that do, and it's time for us to start stepping up to the plate and taking care of them.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, on for this amendment, I realize that this is a good bit of money, but hopefully this will be a one-time thing. And the reason I hope that, Mr. President, is I hope that the Joint Appropriations Committee in this legislature comes up with a better solution in the future. I think it's beholden upon us as the entity that basically dictates a lot of the funding to our cities, towns, and counties that we have to come up with these types of solutions and we have to solve these problems when they present themselves. It is unfortunate that these circumstances have come to bear, but we can't simply say, well, tough break, it didn't work out for you this year. This is health insurance for a substantial number of people that are working for the state that are counting on us to make sure that their families have access to affordable health care. This is an opportunity for us to fulfill that obligation, and I think that we should do this. But at the same time, I'm very hopeful that if we move forward on this particular budget amendment, that we've got a different solution in place next year and have some better advice and don't simply kick this ball down the road again.
Senator Perkins, if you'd please come up. Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a question for the sponsor, the primary sponsor, or any of them. The status of the towns, I see that it's just the counties. I appreciate that, but some of these communities have a number of small towns. I'm just wondering what their position was.
Mr. President.
And, folks, on or against the amendment, and I appreciate the problems this community has, but folks, there are all kinds of alternatives that have been put out there for these communities, and you do have to ask yourself, if there's only 2,800 folks up there, do they need to have 44 people running an infrastructure? Have they explored doing a joint powers agreement where some of their services can be handled with a sister county? Have explored a variety of things. Certainly the county is independent enough that they want to have their own courthouse, they want to have their own county clerk, they want to have these services. But there is provision in the statutes for counties to join and combine their services. And if a county comes and says, we're not prepared to do that, we cannot work with our sisters, we want this 44 people, there's a bill to come with it. But to suggest that the county line is somehow a barrier that can't be transcended and the counties can't work to provide their services and maybe have their clerk, they have to drive another few miles or to file their documents. There are alternatives that are available, and certainly the county says, well, we want these things, and you almost do the addition, figure out how many people are in the school district, how many here, how many of this county are actually dependent and working for the county government or the school district or the city government. It's obviously a large number, but you do have to begin to ask the question is, if we're going to be funding their insurance, then we ought to be able to have part of the discussion of whether or not they should be using sister counties for their services.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good points made by our good president. But let's don't make this county bigger than it is. It's 2,400 people. The next biggest county is Hot Springs with 4,800, twice the size. So the precedence has been set. I mean, it's nobody comes close to this county. And I'd urge all the senators to take this information out that's out of your packets or out of your mailboxes at home when you get home and look at it, because it's quite enlightening to see what this particular county is up against. So on and for this bill, Mr. President, it doesn't set the best precedents, no doubt about it. But this is, hopefully, one time until this county can figure out some of these solutions that the president was talking about. This is very enlightening to see these figures, Mr. President. It's alarming. I don't know how they're running their county on this money. So on for the bill.
Further discussion, Senator Driscoll.
President, a little bit of explanation on that. They run this county with rawhide and tough running. These guys have cut every corner they can, and this is a necessity to get them through. This is really, really a good effort, and we need to support it.
Further discussion, the question having been called, there is an appropriation roll call. Senator, back to the sponsor for his last time, Senator Meyer.
First of all, I want to make sure that everybody understands that this appropriation is only expended for the purpose of the health insurance after providing funding from all other revenue streams, including other states' supplement revenue that's expended or obligated. So this one isn't; these dollars aren't spent first. You know, they're not going to supplant any monies that they have with this money. Question about the municipalities. Lusk pays for their insurance. So they're good. They're getting along. Now, I had the opportunity during the campaign season to listen to the sheriff's debate. And the question was asked to the sheriff is, how do you basically try to squeeze every nickel you can out of your budget to make sure that you're running the shop right? And this guy goes out and he gets $1 police cars. I'm not kidding you. He'll go out, and if there's a junker that any other municipality or county has in the state, they'll give it to him for $1. They'll trailer it back to town. They'll go through. They'll check the brakes. They'll check everything out. This thing might have 130,000 or 140,000 miles on it. That's what they run. because they're not going out and buying new stuff. I looked at the budget here in one of these budgets, $600 for new equipment, and they haven't paid anything. They're saving it because they haven't got their PILT payments yet. They're not buying a thing because the money's not coming in. They're not paying any overtime on policemen. I mean, once their shift is done, that's it. The former speaker down here from Torrington, you all know him. He's their part-time prosecutor. They don't have a full-time prosecutor. When they get a problem, they call him up in Torrington, and he heads up there, and he does what he has to do. Now, they're doing everything they possibly can, and I'll discuss with them the joint powers things that we might be able to do. I know that they've talked about the possibility of having to close their jail, because the problem that we had, and we've had that problem in Western, Niobrara, Goshen, Platte, and I think perhaps Converse. We were all building our jails with federal prisoners and them coming in. Scotts Bluff, Nebraska built a brand new jail. They made a deal with the feds about 4 or 5 years ago. We haven't had any federal prisoners, and we're still trying to figure out how to pay off those brand new buildings that the federal government and the state government said you've got to have, because you've got to have sight and sound separation of juveniles. And so we've got all those different things going on in those counties. But I can tell you one thing. These guys, they know where the bucks are. They make sure that they spend them as frugally as they can. And I will look and find out if there's any place that they can do any joint powers things. But, folks, you got to have a critical mass. It's not quite there. And this is the right thing to do today, and we'll figure out how to run that county and run it more efficiently. I don't know how, but this is the right thing to do today. Thank you, Mr. President.
Roll call.
Anderson, District 2?
Aye.
Anderson, District 28?
No.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
No.
Coe? Cooper?
No.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
No.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
No.
Escobel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
Kinski?
No.
Landon?
No.
Meyer?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins? Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
No.
Rossus?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Van Flatern?
No.
Wasserberger?
Aye.
President Nicholas?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 13 ayes, 17 no.
Amendment number 17, the third reading has failed. We're at amendment 19, third reading amendment number 19. If the clerk would please read it in.
Senate file 1, third reading amendment 19, budget affected. Additions to 300 sections.
Senator Landon.
Mr. President, I would move third reading amendment number 19 to Senate File 1. Fellow senators, many of you may be aware of some of the efforts that have been underway the past couple of years by our community colleges out there to make an attempt to get to a funding model that makes a little bit more sense than what we've been dealing with. For those of us who have been down here for a while, I think you would agree that we've never really quite gotten a handle on expectations with regard to the state side, expectations on the college side with what we should be doing in terms of funding. So what this amendment does, Mr. President, it simply asks that the Joint Appropriations Interim Committee continue a conversation with regard to the funding model. As I thought about and visited with our leadership, visited with several of you, and began to talk about these colleges, we felt like it was important to pull the University of Wyoming in there a little bit as well. Mr. President, what I hope this might be is the first step in an effort to get a little bit better handle on what we do want to do with our higher education system in Wyoming. I don't think we're quite there yet. These are not your grandfather's colleges out there anymore. They've come a long way, and they've come a long way in part because of our help. But we are not there in terms of anything seamless from our K through 12 through the colleges and on to our university. Believe me, from a personal level, I lived at this last year. We are not there. And, you know, I'd like to work on that. And I would hope that, that you would support this. I shared some information, Mr. President, that, that the presidents of those colleges wanted to share with all of you. So I commend that to you to read at your leisure. But in the meantime, I think that this is a good approach to carry on this discussion throughout the interim and see if we can arrive at something that makes sense. Mr. President, the colleges will know what to expect out of the state, and maybe the state will know what to expect out of the colleges. Be glad to try to answer any questions, Mr. President. Would encourage you to support the amendment.
The majority floor leader is getting ready for general file. Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to move to divide this amendment, the first division being lines 1, I guess, through 17, the second division being 18 through 31.
I believe it is divisible, but I think you had to drop it down to where you've got it. First one would be the top part goes with either amendment.
All right.
Division number 1 would be the top part, and lines 8 through 17.
Okay.
Division number 2 would be the top part if the first one fails, and 18 through end. So it is divisible. For practical purposes, we'll be talking about subparagraph A as division 1. Subparagraph 2 is Division 2. On Division 1, any further discussion? Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. President. Speaking on Division 1, I've been on 3 of these task force. I've been on two years of 1 year, I think, governors, or 2 years legislators. We gave a lot of recommendations on how the community colleges should be funded, how capital funding should go. And nothing ever happened, and that was 5 years ago when the last one ended. So I really would ask you to vote no on this Division 1, at least.
Further discussion on Division number 1, Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. I actually just have a question. I don't understand the second sentence, and I'm trying to work out the intent in such consideration. The committee shall determine if local limits and college expansion of facilities and programs should be limited to legislative oversight so as to regulate growth. If it's local limits and college expansion, then limited to legislative oversight, I'm not sure what the intent is there, if all the words are as intended, if I could get an explanation.
Further discussion before the sponsor takes a second time. That should be his first time, but let's Senator Meyer.
Question from the good senator from the ivory tower. The current community college formula, basically, if you allow complete unregulated growth of buildings and you have a set piece of the pie, what happens is that the colleges that grow the fastest get a bigger piece of the same size of pie. And that's why the language is there. It is kind of convoluted, but it's trying to address that problem. Is to say, should the legislature stop all growth so nobody has any bigger increase in the size of the pie of the funding formula? The problem that we have, Mr. President, is that we're simply just not following the statutes because we're supposed to be increasing the size of the pie with enrollment, and we don't do it. So, you know, that's the problem.
Senator Bebout?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. On and in favor of this first part of the amendment, and I understand the frustration of having served for two or three times on one of these. Sometimes I guess you just have to hunker down and try to make things work, and colleague from Goshen County is exactly right that we have a formula, we have a statute to tell us how to do it, we refuse to do it. The reason we refuse to do it is we don't like the way it is. If we don't like the way it is, we ought to look at trying to fix it. Other than that, we're going to come back every year, every budget cycle. We're going to debate on this floor how much to give them, why we should give them to them, how much salary should be increased. We're going to compare it to everybody else and just make decisions in that regard. I'd rather see us have some kind of a process so we can do it properly from the get-go rather than always trying to solve the problem at the end and, quite frankly, make decisions on second and third reading amendments to a budget bill.
Question.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, on and for the first portion of this amendment, earlier when we were discussing a different amendment, we were dealing with K through 12, and we were talking about how they've suffered because we haven't been giving them ECAs. Well, the circumstances for the community colleges are such that not only have they not had an ECA since 2009, but they haven't had any increases regardless of what their population has been. The college up in Northern Wyoming Community College has had a 38% increase between Sheridan and Gillette in population. They haven't gotten an additional cent from what their population, their ADM was back in 2009. And that's because this legislature has not addressed this problem yet. I think that we really need to draw the appropriation committee's attention to this, and I think that's what this amendment does.
Further discussion? Senator Rothfuss, your second time on number Division 1.
For my second time, thank you, Mr. President. I guess my question I'm left with is why isn't this, and I could speak to the second division with the same question, why isn't this simply a matter of an interim study where we look at this in the management council and then make the decision to move forward? I don't see anything here that requires a budget amendment so much as just a decision to move forward on studying it. If I could get explanation in the final speaker, I'd appreciate it.
Further discussion to the sponsor for his last time on Division One.
Mr. President, thank you. And I'll be brief, although I do want to address a couple of things. To the senator from the Ivory Tower, the reason this budget amendment is being suggested to you is because we do need to get the attention of the Appropriations Committee. We hope that we can encourage them to continue this dialogue. If it were up to Management Council, I'm not sure it would go to any more conversation between now and the next time they come down for additional money. Folks, what we're doing with this formula for our community colleges out there, we're basing it on enrollment figures from 2004. That's 11 years ago. They have worked the last 2 years, and I understand the heartburn as we learn some of the conversations that have gone on elsewhere in the building and as it gravitates down here. I understand the heartburn that and the fear that whatever formula that they have come up with would somehow be an automatic escalator. Well, the fact is it's a performance-based model. They've worked very, very hard on it. And so what we tried to do is capture in this language, allow them to bring it and involve us so that we can somehow get to a comfort zone with something. Because I agree with the majority floor leader, what we're doing right now doesn't seem to be working very well. And so on and in favor of the First Division, Mr. President, thank you.
The question is on Division Number 1, which is subparagraph A. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
That motion has been adopted. We're now on Division Number 2, which is subparagraph B and its subcomponents. Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and against this portion of the amendment. The reason I asked for this to be divided was because regardless of what we've already taken care of A and I have new duties, such a deal. I got an offer you can't refuse. But the second part presumes an outcome. And I have a real problem with that. And that's why I moved to divide it and ask you to vote no on B.
Division number two. Senator Landon.
Mr. President, thank you. Respectfully to the appropriation chair, I don't see the presumed outcome in here. And, you know, I would hate to lose an opportunity to at least have a conversation. You know, we heard earlier this evening, folks, that the University of Wyoming hasn't really looked at any wage increases, any substantial wage increases for the last 4 or 5 years. We at least bring that language in. I think that conversation is a good one for us to have at those seven colleges out there. I don't know what the approach is. I don't know how that formula works. I think we can do it better. And that's really what this says, is let's get a handle on something. Let's try to arrive at something that we can agree with those presidents and with those local district boards out there. I think this does that. I think a conversation about sustainable or at least some kind of predictable whatever can we expect from the state, I think that's legitimate for the university and the colleges. And so on and in favor of the second division. Thank you, Mr. President.
We're on division number two, which is lines 18 through 31. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Division number two has failed. For grammatical touch-up, the amendment, the final amendment, will have the parent A and a parent will be deleted. With that change, just to clarify it and to make the record, all those in favor of the final amendment as drafted for third reading amendment number 19, or as amended, Senator Burns. All we're doing, Senator Burns, is just deleting the parent A, and the parent says there's not two paragraphs. So the A is being deleted as a grammatical issue. We're cleaning it up and voting it on the amendment as amended. Third reading, number 19. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That motion has been adopted. We're now on third reading, number 22. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate file 1, third reading amendment number 22, budget affected, 300 sections.
Senator Pappas. We got one more. No, you don't get that privilege. Darn it, no. Sorry, did not go on. Your joke didn't go over the ear.
Thank you, Mr. President. Okay, just what everybody wanted at this late hour is another visit of uncompensated care reimbursement. So bear with me. Think this is a different angle on the situation, and so... would like to discuss. First of all, I'd like to move third reading amendment number 22 to Senate file number 1.
Amendment. Can we get him to hold on to the minute?
Basically, section 355.
Hold on with the Ag Committee. Just hold on. This is a $5 million amendment. Let's stay here and vote until the amendment's been voted on. I understand you have other requirements, but it's $5 million. It's the last appropriation. We'd like you to stay on the floor until it's been voted on. We do understand you have a schedule, but this is a pretty important amendment. So we're going to get back on the amendment. And Senator Pappas, you didn't move it, so why don't you go ahead and move the amendment. Get the
I did
it's
move
been
it.
Moved. If you have your discussion and we're on a time schedule. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll be quick. This appropriation, basically $5 million from the general fund to the Department of Health to distribute to rural health clinics and community-based health centers, different than hospitals. Okay, so we're going to rural health clinics and community-based health centers to provide reimbursement for uncompensated care to patients with incomes not to exceed 100% of the federal poverty level. And this is from July 1st, 2015 through June 30th, 2016. One condition to be eligible to receive a reimbursement under this act, section, a rural health clinic or community-based health center shall commit to expend not less than 2% of the funds received to basically advertise that they have non-emergent care available. So trying to take pressure off the emergency rooms. The department will distribute the funds from this appropriation to rural health clinics and community-based health care centers in an order, in the order eligible applications are received by the department. So first come, first serve. And then basically the amendment ends with stating that anything that's left over will revert December 31st, 2016. So I urge you to consider this amendment to help the issues that we've discussed many times on uncompensated care. And I stand for questions.
Discussion on the amendment, and please be courteous. I would like the Ag Committee to stay until the bill, the budget bill, is voted on. It will be a roll call on third reading. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, I understand the urgency, but it's the budget bill. They should stay and vote on it. Okay. The Senator Scott.
Mr. President, this is the amendment that will actually help the people that are going through the cracks because of the structure of the federal reform. And this is the thing that they aren't able to get under our current system, is the primary care. So this amendment is targeted to, as a stopgap until we can come up with a little better system, but a stopgap to get those people the care that they're having the most difficulty getting right now. And, Mr. President, I think it will reduce some of our Medicaid expenditures. So I would urge adoption of the amendment.
Further discussion on the amendment, Senator Ross.
Mr. President, on and against the amendment, folks. This is $5 million from the general fund. We're already underwater. Yes, that's what this is. Huh? And it comes right out of tranche number one. It doesn't come out of tranche three or two. It's money right now that we're going to have to have. We're going to have to sit here and have a budget balancer if you want to pass this kind of amendment.
Discussion on the amendment. There being none, roll call.
Anderson, District 2. Aye. Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
No.
Bebout.
No.
Burns.
No.
Case.
No.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
No.
Cooper.
No.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstetter.
No.
Driscoll.
No.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Escobel.
Aye.
Geis.
No.
Hastert. Hicks,
no.
Johnson,
no.
Kinski,
no.
Landon,
no.
Meyer,
aye.
Pappas,
aye.
Perkins,
no.
Peterson,
no.
Ross,
no.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Fladern,
no.
Wasserberger,
no.
President Nicholas,
no.
Closing vote, closing. Vote closed. 10 aye, 20 no.
By your vote, third reading amendment 22 has failed. We're on the last amendment, third reading. Pardon me? Of course.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Ag Committee is excused. Excuse me, Mr. President. I retract that retractment.
Yeah, thank you.
We've got to vote on the budget bill.
We're on the last amendment, third reading, amendment 24. Senator Ross, or let's have the amendment read in and then Senator Ross.
Senate File 1, third reading, amendment number 24, budget affected section 20, Department of Environmental Quality.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move Third reading amendment number 24 to Senate File 1. This is an amendment that was brought to me by the Attorney General's office. It provides an exception for limited mining operations. And basically what this does is allow us to quarry sandstone over in Carbon County that matches the sandstone that we would use for the capital. Urge your favorable consideration.
You've heard the explanation, Senator Case.
Mr. Chairman, this is the kind of stuff we shouldn't do in the budget. We do have a vehicle that we could do this. We could introduce a bill, the suspension of the rules to do it. Our rules provide for that. And I don't think the budget is a vehicle for this. We get in trouble when you write law in the budget.
Further discussion on the amendment. You've heard the discussion. All those in favor of third reading amendment number 24, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
Amendments failed.
Division.
Division being called for. All those in favor, please stand. Those opposed, please stand.
Pass.
Somebody vote twice, or Senator Geis, I see you. Senator Geis, are you a no?
Yeah, I'm a no.
You're voting twice. Okay, the vote was 14 to 15. It fails. Any further discussion on the bill?
Question.
There being none, roll call on the bill.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
No.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Escobel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks. Johnson.
Aye.
Kinski.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Meyer.
No.
Pappas.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Scott.
No.
Von Fladern.
Aye.
Wasserberger.
Aye.
President Nicholas.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed, 27 aye, 3 no.
Senate File 1, having received the affirmative vote of the majority members of the elected the Senate, Senate File 1 has passed the Senate. Do we have any messages? The Ag Committee is now excused.
February 19, 2015, Mr. President, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 88, engrossed, Health Provider Recruiting Programs, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Burns, Hastert, Perkins, Ross, Wasserberger, Senator Ross, Chairman.
That is. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Thank you, Mr. President. Is anybody in here interested in working committee of the whole?
Sure.
Bring it on. Mr. President, a good day, members of the Senate. You all worked very hard. I move that we stand, the Senate stand recessed until 9:15 tomorrow, which is Friday, the 20th of February.
I appreciate the offer. I think we'll adjourn, though. The announcements. Senator Coe.
Mr. President, your committee number 4, Education, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock up in S-13. Take up House Bill 11, Engrossed Distance Education Task Force, and House Bill 144, Engrossed Education, School Safety, and Security.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor Health Social Services, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. in the normal committee room. House Bill 138, Engrossed Workers' Compensation for Special Education Teachers. House Bill 139, Engrossed Unemployment Compensation Protest Time Limit.
Senator Von Fladern.
Thank you, Mr. President. Committee number 9, Minerals Economic Development, will meet tomorrow about 15 minutes after recess to do the bills that were formally announced. Previously announced.
Any further announcements? You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The Senate shall actually stand adjourned till 9:15 tomorrow morning, Friday.
Yeah.
Okay.